Matthew 2, starting at verse 1. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place. You know what? I should be in Matthew 2. I apologize. Okay, this is the last week of the old year, so I got 3 next year. Okay, that's my last one. Okay, I'm so sorry. Well, what I did was before, while they were taking the offering, I flipped open my Bible and there was Luke 2 instead of Matthew 2. So I'll blame it on that. Huh? Matthew 2, not Luke. Okay. I'm gonna erase all that off the recording that I send out so they'll think I'm perfect. Okay. Luke 2. I'm glad this is the last week of the year. Okay, Matthew 2. Forgive me. I did take my Alzheimer's medicine today. Okay, Matthew 2. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, notice house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. And we know what happened is that Herod had little boys 2 and below in this area killed because he wanted to get rid of this Jewish king. Now, let me ask you this. I was thinking about this all last week. What if Jesus had never been born? Or what if Herod had killed him? But more than that, what if Jesus had never been born? It would change the whole course of history from the beginning to the end. And notice there, the first thing I have down here. Number one would be that there would be no fulfillment of the Old Testament. Because as you look at the Scripture, it's all about Jesus from the beginning to the end. The Old Testament law was given to show us the need for God's forgiveness because we have sinned. In Romans 3:20, he says that through the law, we became conscious of sin. And of course, we know that Galatians 3:24 tells us that it is there to lead us to Christ. Read that, Galatians 3:24 with me. Galatians 3:24. Whenever somebody says the Old Testament law is for us as New Testament Christians to keep, remember, it was given to the Jews. But Paul says in Galatians 3:24, this. He says, "So the law was put in charge to lead us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith." And so what he's saying there is God gave those old things to show the way to Jesus Christ and a need for Christ. And you remember the sacrifices were another thing that were done. And they were a picture of the coming Lamb of God. Every one of those sacrifices pointed to Jesus. And remember John the Baptist, whenever after Jesus was baptized, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God who comes to take away the sin of the world." That was all a picture of the coming Christ who would pay the final price for sin. There were prophecies. In fact, Jesus fulfilled over 350 prophecies about him as the coming Messiah. He fulfilled those, and every Old Testament book contains a reference to the coming Christ. So, if Christ didn't come, this is the final thing. All of the prophecies of the Old Testament concerning the Messiah are just a pack of lies. And if that's true, the Old Testament is worthless from Genesis all the way to the end in Malachi. Every one of them is worthless. So we don't have an Old Testament. At least we don't have one we can trust. If Christ didn't come to the earth and live and die for our sins. Imagine the hopelessness. Our society would be part of a pagan society. There would be no talk about the true God. And all that goes with it would be part of our society. Nothing Christian involved. I know there are a lot of folks that want to get rid of Christmas, and they obviously aren't Christians. But there would be no Old Testament. There would be no Jewish religion, because they would all be a lie. It would be worthless. It would just be a bunch of people killing animals to appease some God that they could not know. So there would be no fulfillment of the Old Testament. Secondly, there would be no New Testament. Now think about that. Without the birth of Christ, there would be no New Testament. There would be no good news. We would be unable to see God in the flesh, to know who he truly is. And remember in John 1:14, it tells us, well, turn to John 1:14, okay? Remember, John was the one who said that he is the one who came from God the Father, and he was God, and he came in the flesh. And then in 1:14, he says this, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us." And notice this, "We have seen his glory, the glory as of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." And then later he says, "He showed us what the Father was like." So if Jesus had never been born, we wouldn't know the true God. We wouldn't know what he's like. There would be no chance to read the life and the teachings of God's own Son. In John 21, verse 25, John says, "I wrote just some of the things that Jesus taught and did." All the books in the world couldn't contain all of them if we wrote everything about Jesus. So think about it. We would have no knowledge of Jesus. We would have no knowledge of God the Father. Because if you eliminate the New Testament, you eliminate Christ. If you eliminate Christ's birth, you eliminate the Old Testament and all the knowledge about the true God. We would have nothing. Nothing. And we certainly wouldn't have the teaching of those who sat under his feet and listened to what he said. In John, remember 1 John 1:1-3, he says there, "I'm sharing what we heard of him, what we saw of him. I'm sharing the fact that we lived with him, we touched him, we spoke face to face with him." And as he goes through 1 John, he's saying, "This is what he said to us, and I'm sharing it with you." We wouldn't have anything of what the Apostle Paul and Peter and John and all the writers of the New Testament had. We would be hopeless without all that. In fact, that's the next thing. There would be no hope of salvation. We would have no hope for salvation. Read 1 Peter 1:18-21. Go back to 1 Peter, back later in the New Testament there. 1 Peter 1:18-21. He says, "For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver and gold, that you were redeemed. For from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God." What's he saying? Well, if we didn't have Christ, we didn't have his birth, we wouldn't have his death, obviously, there would be no hope. We would still be in our sin and have no hope for salvation. There would be no acceptable sacrifice. He would not have made the sacrifice for our sins. We know animal sacrifices, according to Hebrews 10, 3 and 4, they were just something that reminded us of our sins. They were a picture of him coming. It's impossible, according to Hebrews 10, for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. It took the precious blood of the Lamb of God to pay for our sins. If he was never born, he never died. If he never died, we're still in our sins. We have no hope for life. We just as well eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die, and we make our heaven here, like some folks believe. So, if he didn't die, there's no fulfillment of the Old Testament. There would be no New Testament. There would be no hope of salvation. The next one, there would be no transformed lives. No transformed. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:17. 2 Corinthians 5:17. You know this one probably by heart, but let's read it. 2 Corinthians 5:17, he says this, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come." And what do we say to that? If Christ was never born, he never died, so what? There can be no transformed life because there's no new life in Christ. We would all be like the pagans in Peru and South America and Africa and in old Europe that bow down to the sun, moon, and stars or some other man-made god. We'd still be groveling to gods that we didn't know and couldn't know and could not save us from our sin. We would not be changed. Not only that, but there would be no churches. No churches for evangelism, for teaching, for fellowship, for encouragement. Remember Hebrews 10 talks about that, that we're to get into God's church, so we encourage, we're to encourage others to grow and to learn in Christ. But without Christ dying on the cross, without Christ being born, no churches. Just pagan temples everywhere. They'd give no hope. Not only would there be no churches, there would be no sympathetic advocate at the right hand of the Father that we could go to. Turn to Hebrews with me. Hebrews chapter 2. Several places in Hebrews he talks about Jesus being our advocate. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 17. Remember, he talks there about Jesus came and lived as a human. He knew what it was to hurt. He knew what it was to have sorrow. He knew what it was to have needs. And then he says in verse 17, "For this reason, he had to be made like his brothers in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people." Verse 18, "Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted." And he goes on a little bit later in Hebrews, we won't look at it, in chapter 4, and he says, we have this merciful high priest who sits at the right hand of the Father, who makes intercession for us. And so He knows what we go through. He knows the pains we feel. He knows the sorrow we feel. And He knows how to intercede for us. But if He wasn't born, He's not there for us. We have no hope. So when we pray, we have no one to pray to who understands, because all these false gods, like the pagans worship, they don't know what it is to be human. They don't care about humans. But we have a sympathetic high priest who is before the Father. There would be no hope of bodily resurrection. In 1 Corinthians 15, the Apostle Paul writes to the Corinthians, remember? And he's writing to them about hope in 1 Corinthians 15, 17 through 19. His whole argument is based on the fact that if Christ never resurrected from the dead, we are hopeless. 1 Corinthians 15, look at verses 17 through 19. He says in verse 17, "And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men." And of course, we know that without the resurrection of Christ, without the birth of Christ, without the death of Christ, no bodies would be free from sin and glorified in 1 Thessalonians 4:13. Remember, he says, use this to encourage each other. You won't always live on this earth. You won't always be subjected to this body. You'll have a glorified body, and you'll go to be with Christ in heaven. No hope without the birth of Christ. No resurrection. No glorified bodies. And look at the next one. There would be no heavenly home for eternity. No heavenly home for eternity. Remember in 1 Corinthians 14, Jesus said to his apostles, "I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go, I come back and receive you to myself, that where you may be, where I am, you may be also." And you remember in Revelation 21, turn there. Revelation 21, I love this, and I'll say it every time I talk about this, I use this at funerals. Revelation 21, verses 3 through 5. Well, 2 through 5. And as John is given this vision of heaven, he says in verse 2, "I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Now the dwelling of God is with men, and He will live with them. They will be His people, and God Himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away.'" Now, if Christ never was born and never died and never redeemed us, He could not prepare a place for us like this. If He didn't, there's no shining city where the saints of God can dwell with Him. There's no tears wiped away from our eyes. We're still full of tears. There is more death, more mourning, more crying, and more pain, because the old things have not passed away. Now that's a lot of hopelessness. No Old and New Testament, no atonement for our sin, no heaven to look forward to. That's hopeless, isn't it? Without Christ's birth, we have none of that. But indeed, He has come. He was born. In 1 Timothy 3:16, I like that. As it gets up on the screen up here, I'm going to read it, okay? It says, "He appeared in the flesh." Next slide. "He appeared in the flesh, was vindicated by the Spirit, was seen by angels, was preached among the nations, was believed on in the world, was taken up to glory." He did live. He was born. He did die. And so because of that, there is fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies. There is a New Testament with the life and words of Jesus and those who followed Him there for us to live by. There is a hope of salvation through the blood of Christ. There are transformed lives because of new life in Christ. There are churches for evangelism and teaching and fellowship and encouragement. There is a sympathetic advocate at the right hand of the Father. There is hope of bodily resurrection because Christ resurrected after he died for us. And we will resurrect with him. There is a heavenly home with God for eternity because we are God's children, and by faith we are saved and we go up to be with him. And what do we say to that? We say what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9:15. Thanks be to God for his indescribable glory. Wow. If Christ had not died, we'd have nothing. Thank you, Lord, for giving your son to be born. Thank you, Lord, for giving your son to die on a cross to pay for our sins. Amen? Now, we're going to do the Lord's Supper with that thought in mind. If Christ had never died, we wouldn't be doing this. So as we think of the birth and death of Christ this morning, remember, he was born not simply to live a life like everybody else and then pass away. He was born so he could die on a cross and pay for our sins. And if you haven't trusted Christ yet, you need to do that.